gospel good news. We're lifting up Jesus Christ, the only way to eternal life. Broad is the road to destruction, but narrow is the path to eternal life. And so here we come. We walk up to Living Faith Church. Oh, I'm familiar with this. Talked to Chris Jerry yesterday. And I went to Chris Jerry's website. So I wouldn't be fair and I wouldn't be impartial. I don't want to be partial. I want to be impartial. I went and I called out the Jehovah Witnesses. I have to call out the Jehovah Witnesses because of their false doctrine. I actually went up and looked up your website. This church is into massive heresy, and I'm going to be putting up a testing about it. From pagan holidays to false gospels to hypocrisy. So I'm getting video here. It's going to go on the testing. This man yesterday preached a gospel to me that I'm going to admit was pretty biblical. But here's the problem. Go read Matthew 23:3. Chris preached a gospel that he doesn't even follow. He doesn't even follow it. He tells people they got to come by Jesus' shed blood. I agree. And his death, burial, and resurrection. I agree. Chris says by repentance. I agree. What did that mean? I asked him. Come out of the world. Come out of sin. Come out of every false way. I agree. You must be born again, born from above by the Spirit of God. I agree. The fruit you're born again by the Spirit of God is not church attendance, water baptism, though water baptism's good. Church attendance is only good if you're in a biblical ecclesia body, not a false body like Living Faith Church. But the fruit is holiness and obedience to the Scriptures, and then in every area of your life. And then the last part of the gospel you have to endure. In a saving faith. We don't believe in Calvinism, once saved, always saved. Now, here's where the hypocrisy comes in. Matthew 23:3, Jesus says, whatever the Pharisees tell you to do, do what they do because they sit in the seat of Moses. Do what they tell you to do because they sit in the seat of Moses. But he said, don't do it like how they do it. And that's where the hypocrisy comes in. Go to Chris's Facebook page. He likes the NFL. The NFL is worldly, carnal, violent, covetous, rowdy. Yet they have people in their church dancing for God, which is not a New Testament way, by the way. Dancing for God, that's an Old Testament way.
My Facebook account got hacked.
Are you going to lie and tell me it got hacked? And what is it doing up?
It got hacked. Somebody else is running it.
Really? And all those worldly ministries, you got all those heretical ministries. Hypocrisy will not stand. I talked to you long enough yesterday. I'm just standing here preaching. Public sidewalk. So I would call you out of all these false places that say one thing, like the Pharisees, that Jesus warned in Matthew 23. Hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. They also keep pagan holidays that Mr. Jerry told me yesterday. Does your dad at this church keep pagan holidays? He said, yeah. But we're looking into it. I got the video on my website, or the audio. You can listen to it. Don'tperish.com. Look for the Muskie Fest preach yesterday. And then when I said, he said, me and my wife are kind of looking at it and we're kind of leaving it. And I said, but you're united to your dad. How long has your dad been in ministry? 30 years over, plus. So in 30 years, they haven't got to Roman Catholic pagan holidays, Christmas. That's what it really means. And Christmas means Merry Christ's death. That's what you're celebrating on the day with the Roman Catholics. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, they celebrate it. Jesus didn't rise on Sunday. Jesus rose on Saturday. This man's saying amen, but do you go to this church? Okay, but you're standing in their booth, so you represent them. You represent them. So they're practicing a false way. Easter, Resurrection Sunday is a lie. Revelation 22:14-15 says, outside of the kingdom is all the bad things people want to call out. Whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all those really bad people. And I love God's word. It always like takes you way here, and then it goes bam and slams you down. Oh, you're none of those? What about this? Who love and practice a lie. Christmas is a lie. You practice it. Living Faith Christian Church does. Good Friday. I didn't find anything on Good Friday on their website. I think he said they don't really acknowledge that. Good Friday's a lie because Jesus said he'd be in the grave 3 days, three nights, Wednesday to Saturday. The problem is, all of these church systems that I run into, I don't know, I told him yesterday, I don't know one that's fully biblical. Not one. Not one in America. Name one that's fully biblical. You can name it and I'll listen. Including Living Faith, they're not fully biblical. They teach lady pastors are appropriate. This goes totally against the word of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, let the women be silent. In 1 Timothy 2, Paul said, let a woman not teach or usurp authority over men. But Chris Jerry teaches it's okay for women to be lady pastors. So this is why we're putting up a testing. And once it gets out there, give us a month, it'll get out there. It'll be up soon, but it'll take a month to get out in the crawlers all over. When people search Living Faith Church in whatever town that's in, Etheridge or something like that. Do you remember what town that was? Something like that. I can't remember the name. But people will search it. And the reason we do this is to be loving, one, to glorify God and contend for the faith once delivered, Jude. And the other reason we do it is you're going to deceive neighbors because he told me, well, all kinds of excuses yesterday. Well, you know, we're looking into it and, well, watch out. He told me yesterday that I'm preaching to people or at people rather than preaching to people. When Jesus and Paul and Peter and John, the word preach is not a man in a wooden box. The word preach is not a man in a wooden box. Yeah, and I'm on a public sidewalk. I'll tell you what I'll do. You're right. I got my amp on. Let me turn my amp off. I'm on a public sidewalk, though, ma'am. That's okay. And I'm on a public sidewalk. Yeah, I'm on a public sidewalk. So the reason I do it is they're deceiving people because Jesus said, come out of every false way, worship in spirit and truth. You don't do that at Living Faith Church. I already gave him a chance. He couldn't produce one. Let me do it here. Can you produce one church in America in a building that is fully keeping all of the things I talked about and has come out of the world and feminization and they live to the commandments of God? Can you name one?
Church I go to, I agree with everything you're saying. I don't celebrate Christmas. I don't celebrate Easter.
What church do you go to?
New Testament Christian Fellowship in a barn.
New Testament Christian Fellowship in a barn?
And you won't find it online because men and women of God don't need to be online doing this.
No, we don't have to be.
In a video, it says
we don't have to
be doing this to be seen of men.
Oh, let's talk about that. What did it say not to do to be seen of men? Maybe you know. What does it say in the scriptures don't do to be seen of men? Don't preach?
Pray.
No, we need to preach.
It doesn't say preach, though.
No.
Yeah.
Thank you for knowing the truth. I don't know if you're with me or not, but thank you for knowing the truth. Yeah. It says don't pray on the corner. And here's another thing. Jesus said, give in secret, pray in secret. But Jesus said, what I say to you in the darkness in your ear, go preach it on that housetop. I have a question. If I was preaching on that housetop, do you think a lot of people, young man, would hear me? I was up on that housetop. And Jesus said, go preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded. Your systems don't do this. I don't know anything about that. Give me your email. I'll talk to you. Here, it's on my card.
Online.
Oh, well, do you have a phone? Do you call? Okay. There's nothing sinful about technology. You don't have to use it, but there's my email.
Sure.
You can send me an email, and I'd love to find out about your body. Where? What town is that in?
Glenwood City.
Is that Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Glenwood City. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. But if it's fully biblical, I can promise you, we would be your best workers. But if we find sin and false traditions, what does Jesus tell us to do? Jesus said, if your brother's in sin, just overlook it so you can have fellowship and all get along. Is that what Jesus said? What did he say, sir?
No, he said...
Come closer so I can hear you.
I think it's like separation. I think you have to like separate yourself from that brother or sister.
Until they do what?
Until they repent.
You know the scriptures. It doesn't matter if you know chapter and verse. You know the scriptures. Jesus said, if your brother's in sin, go to him. Call him out of his sin. If he doesn't, bring another brother. He won't repent. Take him to the church. If he won't repent, Jesus said, I want unity. Just everybody get along in false doctrine. No, Jesus said, like a publican, put him out. But yet he unites to a whole bunch of false ways for fellowship. I don't have to hold on. You don't interrupt my preaching.
Hey, listen.
I don't have to hold on. I talked to you yesterday for 40 minutes and I heard your swill. So I'm just here preaching and telling people about false man-made religion. He had plenty of time yesterday for 40 minutes. If you go to my website, I want you to have this. Go to my website and look up my Muskie Fest preach and the audio of him and I talking. We talked yesterday. So I don't give false teachers. Now you, I didn't talk to. I'll actually listen to what you have to say.
I'm listening to you.
Okay, he's a false teacher. I will, Titus 3, warn him once, warn him twice. I now reject him in love.
What?
In love. Wait, and I don't want to give an answer to you. I will listen to you. Do you understand all those things that I talked about? Calling out the churches, and you said you agree with those, but yet you're standing in a church booth with a place that agrees with all those things, including unbiblical tongues, and they're even into deliverance ministry, which is not a ministry at all by itself.
So unbiblical tongues.
So, see, once again, the false teacher is trying to engage me. I don't engage with false teachers. Now, why are you with a corrupt group if you disagree with what they teach?
I'm not with a corrupt.
You're standing with them in this group.
I'm with my brother here, and I don't agree with him in everything.
Okay, so 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, Paul says this, these men go against the Bible. I'm making an audio, by the way. This will be up so you can listen to it. And we don't do this for clicks and money. We don't make money. The reason we're on the internet is because that is today's marketplace. If that young man searches denominations exposed, you know whose website he's going to find on about the 8th, 9th, 10th click somewhere? Ours. Because of the glory of God, not because I'm good or my wife is good. Because God's using our website and it spreads it around. So when he searches denominations exposed, it depends. You know, Google puts you all over the place. When you search this church, it will come up in time. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I almost lost my train of thought. This man teaches against the word of God. So now I'm going to have to mark him as a false teacher. Paul says, be perfectly joined together, fully united, in one mind, all speaking the same things. He's nodding his head. Confirmation of the word of God. You just told me he's your brother. You don't agree with what he teaches.
I didn't say I didn't agree with everything he teaches. I'm
saying, you said you don't agree with their church system, and he does, and you're here. Do you see the hypocrisy, the confusion of these modern church systems? And I lovingly rebuke the JWs. I did it. The women, I don't expect them to contend. The men in both corners stood there and not said a word. They're actually smarter than you guys. You know why? JW men don't have the truth of God. They know they have a false Bible. They have a false Jesus. They stand like this. They don't say a word. They're smart. They say, they're taught, if somebody comes up to you and knows we're a cult, don't say a word. Wade Bishop is running the car show from Element Church. I have a testing of him. Ran into him 2 years ago. Tried to run me off the public sidewalk to not preach the gospel 2 years ago. Imagine that. I'm preaching Jesus, and the pastor runs me off because of his car show. He didn't run me off. It's a public place. You know what he did today? I'm preaching on his corner peacefully like this. People can walk by, ignore me. I preach that he teaches eternal security. That's a lie. The Bible says you must endure to the end. You can fall away. Paul says many will turn away from the faith. You know what this false teacher spurts out? I don't even teach that, he says. I get my iPhone out and I go to my screenshot from his website. It says eternal security with a bunch of scripture verses pulled out of context. And even you, I don't think you would agree with eternal security. You have to endure. He would be better to shut his mouth than trying to. You know what they say about liars? When you tell one lie, what happens? And you try to cover it, what do you have to do? Yeah, so if you don't want to get caught in a lie, what do you? You got to keep lying. So that's what modern pastors do. So the JW people are actually smarter. Mormons are too. If they know you're onto them and you know they're a cult and you can expose them, they just say walk away. So for all these reasons, Paul says be united in one mind. You guys aren't united in doctrine.
So what if
you're not united?
To the table and they go research it, read the Bible, pray about it, repent of it, and come back, and then they say... Oh,
and that would be his dad, who in 30 years hasn't gotten through the pagan holidays.
But I just asked you a question.
I don't need to answer to a false teacher. I don't need to answer to a false teacher. I'm just here to proclaim the word and warn people that churches like this are false. I'm getting video to put on a website to show that I confronted you.
Is there any room for change? Is there any room?
When you repent and you email me.
And I did.
When you repent and you email me and say, I left this church and told my dad until he leaves his sin, I won't unite to him. Then we'll have discourse.
Oh, okay. So
Jesus said, if your brother repents, forgive him.
You
haven't repented.
It's according to your standard.
No.
Hey,
Christmas has never been. Did Paul ever celebrate Christmas? Did Peter?
No.
Did John?
I'm not talking about
How about
that.
Resurrection Sunday? Or did they preach it every single day?
I'm talking about you saying to disassociate.
There you go.
With the
so,
church. But that's not the thing, though.
Go ahead. I'll hear you.
It's not the thing, though. It's not a. Just be, if he celebrates Christmas, which I don't, and I don't agree with, my wife wears a prayer veil, I understand everything you're saying.
It's but not a prayer veil, it's a head covering. Her hair should be covered for her glory. And if she's going to pray many times a day, put it on, take it off, put it on, take it off, put it on, take it off. No. She covers her head. That's what the Bible teaches.
I can agree with you 100% on almost everything you're saying. But what I'm saying is, are you the source of everything? You know everything?
I'm preaching the Word of God.
Is there no room for my brother to grow or me to grow? Do I not need the grace of God?
Preaching the Word of God.
Gay and proud.
Go test it.
Pride month. June is Pride month. I am gay. I'm a homosexual. I like men. How about that? Do you like that? Huh?
We love you, sir.
You're going to hell. I don't love you.
We love you, sir.
The devil loves you. You're a sinner. You're disgusting.
We love you.
You're
I don't live in sin, sir. We love you. There's hope if you'll turn and repent. Jesus can cleanse any sin.
Amen.
So right there, can I just say something? The homosexuals always try to bait the street preacher because they love the fight. They want this That's to right. see that we hate them. You know what? That homosexuality sin is no worse than their sin of false religion. In fact,
when you're preaching out here, it stirs up the spirits.
Yeah, it does. And you know what's amazing? Millstones. Are you familiar with this? Jesus never said you'll have a millstone on your neck if you're a homosexual. What did he say? False teachers and those that stumble my children, which is his believers, it would be better if he had a millstone on his neck and cast into the ocean than to deceive these little ones. And he's aiming at false teachers. So that guy's going to get a rude awakening and judgment. False teachers, it's going to be even worse. So go back to what you were saying. Is there room for correction? Of course. I exposed his sin. He needs to go test it to the Word of God.
And
I told him yesterday.
He has been.
I told him yesterday. Email me. I emailed him last night. He didn't email me. Did you get my email?
I did. I got your email. And what
I was waiting for an email back.
But see, the thing about it, I knew you'd be here, and I wanted to talk.
How did you know I was going to be here? I could have gone down the road. I travel all over.
Because
I rarely do. I rarely do two events. Events 2 days in a row. Why do you think? They bring water balloons, loudspeakers. While I'm just peaceful and walk through, they want to attack me, and I go, I don't need to do that. But this one's pretty mellow. The police are very respecting of First Amendment rights. Some towns, they aren't, and they'll run you out. So let me answer your question. He can test. He can repent. And if he sends me an email when I put this testing up, including him standing by his vile skeleton,
but you know what?
If he puts a testing, or if he repents, I will put a note up. I will say that's the least of your problems. I will put a note that says, Chris Jerry repented of this, this, and this. Now, will I expunge the testing? No. You know why? When David repented, a lot of sin David did, wasn't it? Murder, adultery. Did God expunge it from the record of the Word of God?
It's in there.
Nope. Did when Peter sinned and Paul rebuked him in Galatians 2? When Paul rebuked Peter in Galatians 2, did it get expunged from the Word of God?
No.
If I run out and cheat on my wife as a street preacher and everybody catches me and it goes all over the internet that street preacher Tupos was a fornicator, am I going to be able to wipe that off the internet and say it never happened? I can repent of it, and then they can say, all right, he was, you know, got caught in it. But you can't expunge it. So a lot of these guys, when they repent, say, now take my testing down. And I go, no. I'll repent for the glory of God. I'll report for the glory of God you repented, but I'm not taking it down because now what it shows you is he's a novice.
It's not like he's telling you to do that.
But okay, I'm not saying he did. I said someone do. What it reports is he's a novice. He should not be teaching anyone. He's a pastor. He has not even studied all these things. The Bible says to be an elder teacher, you should be experienced, mature in the Word. At least be sharp as a tack like young Timothy. I'm assuming you open the scriptures with Timothy, he'd slice you apart because Apostle Paul approved of him. That ain't this guy, because he's living in sin and worldliness. And now he just said his Facebook page got hacked. It's got football, it's got carnality, it's got false teachers. I don't buy that.
I can tell you his account got hacked because my brother, who's not a Christian, asked me.
Okay. He defended football yesterday. He said, well, I said, do we have to leave the carnality of the violent football? He said, well, see what you're saying. He backpedaled on it. I'm sure his dad and the people in his church watching Netflix, watching football. Yet Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And they come out of the world. And the world is sports, politics, entertainment, church systems that aren't out of God. This is the world. And there's two kingdoms. The kingdom of Satan. And I had a man not long ago say, give me a scripture verse that proves kingdom, Satan has a kingdom. That's heresy. And I said, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Paul says, Satan is the god of this world. Go read in, is it John? No, Matthew. Beginning of Matthew. Satan takes Jesus up to the Pinnacle Mount and says, worship me and I'll give you every kingdom. I have a question. If Satan didn't own and control them, how could he give them to Christ? He's the god of this world. And then there's the kingdom of Satan, which is this culture. And I got Christians walking through this culture living just like the world. This is not of God. Then you have the kingdom of God, which is today in our hearts. And one day it's going to come in flaming fire with a new Jerusalem and a new kingdom, new heaven. And God's ready. This is a revelation that God's word teaches, but nobody wants to live by this. And it's amazing. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. Jesus Christ is coming in flaming fire.
Taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So he knew that verse. Awesome. I tell all these people, your politics you're fighting for, Trump, he's coming to destroy that.
That's right.
Your movies and entertainment and sports and the Packers, if they win every Super Bowl for the next 50 years, Jesus is coming to destroy that. Your church systems, Jesus has a special aim with special fire just for that, because God hates hypocrisy more than he hates anything. And so why would people prop up this culture and this world system and like this, lick your hand and stick Jesus on it with a bumper sticker? I'm so tired of bumper sticker Christianity.
Assumption.
Ready? T-shirt Christianity. Hey, I'm of Jesus. How do I know that? T-shirt. This one. Hold on. Take my cross out. And I go, sir, is that metal cross going to save you? No. Did you know he didn't die on a cross? And they go, I go, he died on a stake.
Yes, he did.
And it made the shape of a cross. But who venerated the cross into a religious symbol? The Roman Catholics.
Catholic Church, I know.
But yet these churches, I'm pointing to their cross. That's the shape of the Roman Catholic cross. He said they don't have one. The church down the street, maybe you know this, maybe you don't. What's a steeple on top of a church building? You know what it is?
That's a phallic object, yeah.
It's a man's penis.
Yep.
I'm whispering to no kids here. It's a sex. Why do they have other sexual parts up on the building? Isn't that putting pagan Egyptian things from the Roman Catholics to the evangelicals, and the non-denoms are all doing it now. These are just all examples of why I preach, to open people's eyes. And he told me yesterday, well, in the way you're kind of preaching, you got to do it in love. I want to enlighten you both with this. In the book of Acts, would you say it's the most evangelistic book in the whole Bible?
I would.
How many times is the word love used in the book of Acts? Don't say anything. He knows the answer.
I haven't even looked at that. Yeah, I don't know how many times.
Zero. The most evangelistic book in the Bible never once says, God loves you so much. Won't you just believe in Jesus and go to heaven? The Bible never says that. The Bible says in the book of Acts, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and obey the gospel. Then you learn about the love of God. And then by the time we get to 1 John, we hear the perfect love of God casts out fear. But we come by the fear of God. That's the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9. And so I'm amazed at what all of these churchianity places do not teach and what they do bring along with it. And going back, you can't unite to it. The Bible says, Romans 16:17, mark those who cause division by leaving sound doctrine, that's the church systems, and avoid them. It doesn't say sing and pray with them. It doesn't say stand in a booth with them. Paul says avoid them. In 2 Thessalonians 3:14, you think I'm being tough by calling them out for their false gospel, their hypocrisy, their pagan holidays, their feminization? In 2 Thessalonians 3:14, you know what it says? Paul says, if a man is lazy and won't work, have no company with him. Laziness is like the lowest sin you could think in America, right? It's like a teenager. Come on, man, get a job. Yeah, I know, I should get a job. Paul says, if he claims to be a believer, don't have nothing to do with them. Why do we do that? Why do you think we do that? If you're my brother and I'm in sin and you catch my sin, why do you think you're supposed to come to me, rebuke me, and separate from me if I won't leave my sin? What's the logic of that? Because you're mean-spirited. Right? That's one. Keep going. What's another reason you think?
Have no, like, association with, you know, that kind of...
Yep.
Have,
Yep, Paul says, do not be a partaker of other men's sins, right? So that's another reason. So here's another one, for the glory of God, right? We want to make sure that we're glorifying God in everything we do. And also, so that there's a cost, right? So if you and I are close brothers, and I go into sin, and I won't leave my sin, and my close brother says, man, I've warned you, I can't walk with you. Guess what? My wife's going to say to me, what's your first name?
Colin.
Alan?
Colin.
Holland.
Colin.
Sorry, I have a bad ear. My wife's going to say, what happened to you and Colin? And if I'm not a liar, I'm going to go, Colin called me out on the sin and I won't repent of it. And she's going to go, you love your sin more than God and your brother Colin? And I go, yes, I do. By my fruit, I do. So we need to repent of this idea that we can have unity and not be in sound doctrine. That tramples the blood of Jesus Christ and makes the narrow way a broad way. It has to be a narrow way. And everything I'm telling you, I teach on my website. This is not my truth. It's the Word of God. I've got thousands of articles. It's the Word of God. And unless you can email me and refute me, which I'd love it, email me, show me an article I run, I'll listen to it. Call me on the phone. I'll give you my cell phone. Call me on the phone, and we can go deep in sound doctrine. But I'm telling you, you can't walk in sin and false ways. And you can't be in unity with something that you're not in unity with.
I follow what
you're saying. One sin. Let's go here. This is great. One sin. How many sins did it take Adam and Eve to get thrown out of the garden? How many sins did it take for Moses? I was confused, Moses and Noah. How many sins did it take for Moses to not get to go in the Holy Land? One. He struck the rock twice, not once. And God says, you didn't listen. You don't get to go in the Holy Land. How many sins did it take in Acts 5 for that husband and wife team, I'm looking at my wife, to be killed by the Holy Spirit after the grace of Jesus Christ has come? One. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Leviticus 10. This is strange fire. I believe you offer strange, but not you, this group. I don't know about your body. I can look into it. Strange fire. Christmas, Easter, pagan holidays, worldliness. The two priests in Leviticus 10. One strange fire offering. What happened to him? God burnt him to a crisp. So sin is serious. And the big problem I have, I just told a man over there, American Christians have been taught to not think sin's that serious. You know why? Well, Jesus died for me and he took care of all that sin. That's not true. Here's a police officer. Well, he's a police officer. He's keeping the law. I don't have to. I don't keep the law. What's going to happen? He's going to call a bunch of his buddies. They're going to take me down. I'm going to the jail and have to stand before a judge. Jesus died for the potential for us to have the hope to turn to him to repent and forsake all sin. And whatever sin you forsake, you turn from, is cleansed by the blood of Christ. But the Bible is very clear in Hebrews 10, 26, 27. If you keep willful sin, sin you know is sin and you keep doing it, there's no sacrifice for your sin.
Sin willfully after you receive the knowledge of the truth, that you made no more sacrifice for sin. But a certain fearful looking judgment.
Judgment. And it talks about how much more if you trodden down the Son of God. In Hebrews, the author Paul says in Hebrews 10 that in the Old Testament, they trampled Moses' law. And he said, that's bad enough. I'm paraphrasing. To trample the Son of God that Christ, God sent himself to be a sacrifice, to trample his blood and live in sin. How much sorer a punishment. And this is what the church systems do. The church systems are living in willful sin and false traditions. They're linked to the culture. They won't repent of it. And you know why they won't repent of it? Why do you think? Thank you for your service, officer. I want to give you a gospel card. Check out my website. Make sure you're living for Christ and not the culture, not the church systems. Why do you think the churches won't teach the whole truth?
They need to pay off the mortgage.
Money's one reason. What do you think's another reason?
Go on and be persecuted.
Yeah, what it'll do is if you got 500 people, you start preaching the full truth. If you got two or three left that go, I'm with you, you should praise God because, ready? You ready for a teaching on few? How many got off the ark? Eight. The scholars say there could have been, I've heard anywhere from 10 million to 100 million people alive. Who knows? The Bible doesn't say. But millions. Eight. When Jesus said few, in Matthew 7, that word in the Greek means puny. So look it up. Look at the Greek and the Hebrew words. I always encourage that. I use a King James Bible, but it does have some error. We can talk about that if you want. Look at the Greek and the Hebrew. It helps you. Eight come off the ark. How many come out of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Sodom and Gomorrah was in that lot, and his wife that turned back, and then there was just them, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it would be ultimately, you're right. Lot, his wife, and two daughters, but she turned back, so she didn't make it. Three. Three come out of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Now, the scholars say that Sodom and Gomorrah had like tens of thousands of people. All right? Tens of thousands. So three out of tens of thousands. This one blows my mind. Ready? We have an actual number. In the book of Numbers, it tells us how many men were probably of our age. I'm on the high side. I probably would be out because I'm getting old. But like 18 to like 50 or 60 was like the war men. The Bible tells us how many of those men went into the Holy Land. Out of 600,000 men, tells us, right, numbers, 600,000. How many go into the Holy Land because they were righteous and obeyed God and believed God? What did all the rest of the Israelites do? Grumble. Joshua and Caleb. Out of 600,000. Now, let me fast forward that figure for you. And don't say that I'm predicting the only 1,500 are going to come out of America. But let me give you that percentage of 600,000 to two. You ready? 330 million Americans, I'm going to show you what few is. That same percentage, I'm not a math expert, it's somewhere, because I misplaced all the digit zeros. It's somewhere between 1,200 and 1,500 people out of America. So when Jesus, as a prophet, he was the greatest prophet, was preaching few, he was talking about the Old Testament. Look at the few. Yet you got churches with thousands of people, hundreds of people. They're not going to make the kingdom of God. I'll be surprised if one or two out of each body makes it. Why? Because in Mark 7, that's why he's in danger, and I love him. That's why he needs a rebuke. In Mark 7, it says, the keeping of man-made traditions makes your worship glorifying to God? No. Makes it magnified to God? No. Makes it in vain.
Yeah, so Paul the Apostle said this, pay attention to my teaching and my manner of living, which is tradition. So there is a kind of tradition that's consistent with the scripture.
And Second Thessalonians 2:15, Paul says, keep the traditions I've handed down. It wasn't Christmas. It wasn't Easter. It wasn't Good Friday. It wasn't linked like the world. It wasn't dressing like the world. It wasn't entertaining yourself in the world. The traditions of the New Testament saints were always come out of the world and walk in holiness and obedience in all of your ways. That's the fruit that you're born of God. By the Spirit. Now, I want to cover this before people label me like they always do. I don't teach works-based salvation. You can't work your way to heaven. It's impossible. Jesus, we need his perfect righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God. Now, based on that, though, it doesn't mean you can live any way you want and live in willful sin. We already determined willful sin sets you out. The righteousness of Christ cleanses you when you repent and forsake sin. Then you're cleansed and you move forward. The Bible is very clear that if we keep false ways and if we walk in willful sin, and if we fall back from the faith that was once delivered, Peter even says there's almost no hope for somebody that does that. So the idea of once saved, always saved, the idea that you can live as the world and live in flesh, Romans 8:8 says you can't please God in the flesh. Romans 8:1, you probably know Romans 8:1.
Now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh.
Thank you. You finished it. So many people stop and say, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and they stop.
King James Version.
Yeah, and they stop, and it says, for those who walk according to the Spirit, not the flesh. And read the rest of Romans 8. You're condemned already if you live like the world and the flesh. James 4:4 says, to be a friend of the world makes you an enemy of God. What's a friend of the world? The NFL is a friend of the world. The Packers, politics is a friend of the world. Contemporary Christian music that is full of heresy and it's not even biblical. Secular music, all the cultural ways, my fashion and dress.
My Amish friends say your electronics are a friend of the world.
Let's talk about that.
Electronics that you're using right now.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
So let's put spirit from flesh.
Because you're arbitrarily drawn these lines.
I can answer that.
Watches an NFL game, they're worldly.
That's carnal.
If somebody,
that's fleshly.
If somebody celebrates Christmas.
Yeah, hold on. We're going to answer that.
But you don't have a biblical standard.